The news is full of vulnerable people these days, like refugees and those in war zones. And then there are the people that don't even know they're vulnerable, like those journalists that were suddenly shot in their workplace, or the three-year-old that was killed by her father in the park, or those boys that went into the Thai cave. And then there are those that are in custody who are completely vulnerable to however their guards choose to treat them. And then there are those who are vulnerable to disease, who have to live with restrictions and pain and the side effects and the costs. Most of us like to think of having agency in our lives. We don't like accepting vulnerabilities. And yet, we all have them. Just take a minute, if you haven't already, and identify yours by name. You have a vulnerability in your body, or maybe in your identity, or financial vulnerabilities, or in your family system, or a loved one. It may be hard to admit the places where you don't have control. But doing so, being able to admit them, is empowering, because then you can ask for help. Today, Jesus invites you to enter a new world of mutual regard and acceptance and interdependence, to enter God's kingdom by sharing stories about three vulnerable people who ask for help. The first vulnerable person in our story is Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, not someone that would be regarded by most people as vulnerable. He had power, he had status, he was a leader. And leaders are trained to be competent, to get things done, to keep it all together. Except, of course, when it's your little girl, they get sick, really, really sick, which may help you understand why Jairus runs to Jesus himself instead of sending an emissary, as a leader normally would, you know, go through channels. Why he would disregard the letter of the law, the religious law, which would have him disavow petitioning anyone besides God. Maybe even the most law-abiding, enforcement-minded among us can understand why Jairus doesn't inquire, or politely ask, or even petition, but he begs Jesus to come. He's desperate. His love for his daughter has left him utterly vulnerable. And so he ignores the laws of piety and propriety and his leadership role and everything else to save his child. Story two. The woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. She is nearly the exact opposite of Jairus. She's not a leader. She has no social standing in the community. Female, widow. Moreover, she apparently has no one to advocate on her behalf to this teacher and healer. Her unclean bleeding, rather than eliciting sympathetic care, isolates her in her shameful condition. Vulnerability because of shame. Perhaps you or someone that you love is vulnerable because of some shameful secret, a venereal disease, a prison record, a false accusation, consequences of a foolish lapse of judgment. shame is disempowering, and therefore it makes us vulnerable. Because when we have problems that we don't want to talk about, we can't ask for help. Jesus knows that. And so amid all the commotion of this crowd that's all around him, he knows that there's one person there that needs his particular attention, who's in particular need, one person that requires his power to be restored to community, to be released from this shameful condition. And Jesus doesn't simply respond to those who are in need with theoretical statements by saying, oh, well, this is what should happen, and this is what's wrong with society. And he doesn't stay at a distance just saying, well, all people are acceptable. No, he touches this particular woman, connects with her, and joins himself to her with his compassionate embrace of her humanity. Story three. The little girl. She's 12 years old, and she too is utterly vulnerable, though she's in no place to do anything about it. Not only is she physically incapable of making an effort toward her recovery, but she's a minor and under the complete control of surrounding adults. Perhaps you worry about being vulnerable in a place where you're considered incompetent to make decisions for yourself. Perhaps you're the one that's tasked with making those decisions for someone else. It's a heavy burden. Just ask Jairus, what are you willing to do for your child to go above the radar and attract negative attention that leaves yourself open to hurt? Undertake hazardous travel? Take mega chances like swimming in a cave that's dangerous? Do you spend everything to clutch onto medical straws and go into debt and quit your job to do the caring? As a sign of the kingdom, Jesus raises up both these vulnerable women, the old and the young, and vindicates all those who ask for help, even the strong, like the synagogue leader, all those who admit that they are vulnerable. All three of our characters respond, follow Jesus' command, and allow him to work, and they get up from their very different social positions. Geographically, in the setting of these stories, remember, Jesus has just crisscrossed the borders between the Jewish and Gentile territories, between two opposing lands, between two contrasting, actually even hostile cultures. His mission in both territories, though, is the same, to seek out, heal, and restore those most vulnerable, whether they were his own ethnic people or not. On the Gentile side, the man possessed by demons, who needed healing. And then these three different yet identical characters in need on the other side. All vulnerable, all seeking Jesus' help in different ways, whether begging publicly or by secret manipulation or by acting out and responding when others' help is offered. It's okay to admit you're vulnerable and to ask for help. It's okay to get help. While at the same time recognizing that you have also been given gifts and strengths, and that Jesus is inviting you to use them on behalf of others. We heard St. Paul write in his letter. He was writing to a church that had its own needs. And they were being asked to also send money to the church in Jerusalem. And Paul writes, I do not mean that there should be relief for you and pressure, I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it's a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need in order that there be a fair balance. He's saying that others have something that you need, and you have some things that others need. He says that all sides need compassion. It's not a competition for care. When we're vulnerable, it's easy to forget that, to see everything as a zero-sum game, a competition for a piece of the finite pie. When we're vulnerable, we're anxious. Charity begins at home. And fear drives out our compassion. God invites you this morning to consider these three people who received Jesus' compassion. The leader that finds that all of his usual advantages and experience that go with his office avail him nothing. The person who has endured much and isn't sure she can bear any more. The little one who is helpless, utterly dependent on others. Which one do you identify with most today? Which one do your loved ones identify with? Jesus responds to each, and he creates a worldview that crosses borders, a worldview that respects each person and their needs as unique, with no hierarchy of need. And we can describe that world, even give it a name, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. The spirit of the law, love your neighbor as yourself, that spirit trumps the letter of the law every time. He says, the kingdom of God is like this. God knows your touch from that of everyone else. You are uniquely loved, and God does not put you in any category or think that fairness means regarding your situation as like anyone else's. God can and does distinguish your touch and your plea from all others. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like this. God helps the helpless. God's on the side of those who can't take any control of their situation, can't take any action, those as powerless as young children. And God now invites you to be a part of that kingdom, sends you out to tell the strong where to go for help, sends you to ignore the shame, and to associate with those in need of someone who recognizes their humanity. Send you as someone who does not write off those who appear to be dead. And in doing those things, being a sign of the kingdom, doing those things is going to make you vulnerable. Expect to be misunderstood. Expect to get hurt. And when you are, God promises to be there with you to take your hand and raise you up. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.